Welcome to the Dad's Night Podcast, where ridiculous becomes reality. We're your dad hosts. I'm Chris Parrish.
And I'm Tommy Reed.
This week, we're joined by Spectrum Sportsnet Lakers studio host Chris McGee. We'll talk about growing up in SoCal and his days announcing the AVP, NBA hoops, and raising two girls in his volleyball footsteps. We'll also recap the last couple of weeks and get into some Thanksgiving and holiday planning. This podcast is brought to you by the Believe Network.
Wow, I haven't heard that music in a long time. I love it.
We are overdue, Tommy. We're so happy to see each other today.
It's good to see you too, buddy. And we have a special guest today that I'm really pumped up about.
Yeah, yeah, this is going
to
be great.
Yep, I know Trey Comstock's going to be listening.
Trey Comstock.
Yep.
Has he ever come in this garage and strummed a little guitar for you?
No, he has not yet.
That'd be a... Sorry for coming up with ideas, guys.
No, I like it. We spitball in here.
All of a sudden, I'm producing the show.
We need a good producer.
This is going to be one of our favorites. My friend Nikki Jade said to make sure to heckle you. FOP, Nikki. We will heckle you. We'll do it.
I love Nikki, by the way. She's great.
She is great.
Vibe volleyball.
Where are you going? What you doing? And what you excited about? It's brought to you by Postal.io. Actually, Postal.com now. Sorry about that, Jed. Hey, dads, what's the easiest way to delight your customers and prospects? Sending one-of-a-kind corporate gifts with Postal's offline marketing software. Postal helps companies create meaningful connections at scale while tracking it all in your CRM. Learn more and get a free trial at postal.com/dads. Chris, what are you excited about right now?
So I'm going to use this opportunity. I sound a little hoarse right now. Mm-hmm. I pulled an all-time dad move last night.
Did you rage?
With FOP Ryan Khalil.
Nice.
Oh, so tequila.
Nice.
We took our two daughters, Lainey, mine, and Kennedy, his daughter, and we just said we're going to go to dinner, a little daddy-daughter dinner.
Oh, so
we
double date. Love
we
it.
We took them to this restaurant in El Segundo called Sozal, and they got
great
dressed up.
Great little Mexican spot.
Great little Mexican spot.
That's
fantastic
how you pronounce
food.
It. I always said Sosal.
Margaritas are solid. Sosal works as well.
Yeah. Have you ever had the potato taco?
I had one last
so
night.
So good. Unbelievable. I've never had a potato taco before.
So we have this move, and then Ryan says, you know, hey, let's get some dessert because you guys have already done your homework. Yeah, we can stay a little bit later tonight. So we're going to drive to one of Ryan's favorite old school shops, Foster Freeze in Inglewood.
Okay.
So
that was not on my list of places. I thought you were
on Handles. Well, it was the location that mattered.
Handles. Yeah.
So we get him in the car. They're talking back and forth, listening to tunes and all this stuff, and all of a sudden you turn the corner. On Manchester Boulevard, and you see the forum, but it says Harry's House, Harry Styles. And we're taking them to Harry Styles.
You took them to the Harry Styles concert.
Yeah.
No.
They lost their shit. It was awesome.
They had no idea.
Dude, no
that's
idea.
Dad move of the year.
No idea. Woo.
That is a
so we get in
move.
There that we my friend Jill dropped off a couple boas for the girls to wear, so I had those already packed in a bag.
Can you give me four tickets
trunk.
For tonight? Is he back tonight? I mean, that's one of the greatest dad moves.
He had
to
cancel three shows last week because he had the flu, so they're coming back in January. And I got to tell you, I've been to hundreds of concerts in my life. My son's name is Vetter, shout out. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the best shows I've ever been to. He was unbelievable. It was just an unbelievable show. Unbelievable musicians. One of the best drummers I have ever seen.
He's a drummer. I thought he was
no,
just a
No, he's got a great drummer, though.
Oh, okay.
He played some guitar. He brought Ben Harper up for a song.
What a move, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable.
By the way, when Ryan Khalil was at USC, he wouldn't remember this, but I was working for Fox Sports, and I was always covering USC football.
Mm-hmm.
He was like my go-to.
For quotes?
He's great.
Yeah,
he
was just great. He was always cool. Yeah. And you could always get an interview from him.
Very personal.
He was just a guy that you would win or lose, or just good or bad days or practice. He was just awesome.
We were just proud of that.
I don't know if I haven't seen him in a long time. I mean, I see him, but I say hi, but I don't think he remembers
me. So two quick questions on there for this one. Number one, did Ryan have a little tequila with him?
No, he didn't bring any. We just didn't want to get too loose.
Yeah.
Because we're so terrified of ruining the surprise.
Okay. Yeah. No
Celaya. No, not yesterday.
You guys, I mean, that's a move. That's
it's a move. I'm going to be using this for 20 years.
Okay. And then number two, Watermelon Sugar. Did he play it? Did
he
dance?
It. It was right near the end. My favorite Harry Styles song is called Adore You. Mm-hmm. He played that about third one in. It was one of those shows. I like a lot of his songs. I like his songwriting. But it was one of those shows where some of the ones that maybe I wasn't as warm to, all of a sudden I'm like, this is just amazing. And I'm going to go back and listen to it.
Nice.
Watermelon Sugar blew the roof off.
Great acoustics at the Forum.
Unbelievable place to see music.
It is crazy at that place because growing up in Detroit, watching the Lakers and Pistons, like you see the Great Western Forum on TV, but it is so small compared to these modern arenas.
How old are you?
47.
Oh, yeah. So you and I are right around the same area. Yeah. A lot of battles.
Yeah, a lot of battles. Yep. Isaiah's sprained ankle in game six.
Oh, my God. Are you a Boston guy?
All three of us here. Well, my dad was from Brockton, Mass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're Patriots?
No.
You're Celtics?
I'm from Jersey. So that's the only one that slipped in was the—
But you're Celtics growing up. Yeah. You're either one of the— you're either like growing up in the 80s. You're either a Pistons,
Couldn't like the Patriots. I'm a Giants, Yankees, and Celtics.
You know the Lakers and Celtics, James Worthy told me one day, one year, David Stern, he was a genius, by the way, he had him play in the preseason four times.
Really?
Preseason, you know, they don't do that anymore.
Right.
It's like you're playing the teams in your region.
Exactly.
Four times. And James said it was like they were like NBA Finals games, fights.
No way. That's awesome.
I know.
Back when they let him play.
Back when they let him play.
Yeah.
Bob McAdoo, his son and I went to high school together.
No way.
Yeah, Mac.
So Bob McAdoo is, I would say, that's one of James's favorite human beings on the planet. Apparently, every guy in Caron Butler's told me the same thing. Like any guy who's ever been with Bob McAdoo for a period, they just say he's like the funniest.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah, like storyteller.
Up,
and
we would
yeah.
play summer basketball. It'd be like Mac and his dad versus me and James Worthy. And then one day, Buck Williams was over there too. So it was like 3-on-3. But
that's
we
really
had like
cool.
Buck Williams and James Worthy and myself versus like Mac, Jimmy Taylor.
That's
and,
so great.
And his
man.
Dad, Mac. You know, it was just awesome.
What a cool
that's
guy.
Awesome.
Like just this pickup
legend,
games
man.
In his backyard.
Legend.
You know, going to New York on Friday for Thanksgiving.
Great
We're
place
going
to
Saturday.
See it.
Are you really? Where are you staying?
Midtown?
Got
Refinery
it.
Hotel.
Yeah, okay.
How long are you
wife
be there?
Planned the whole thing. Girls and my wife are going to go on like a little trip. This is the perfect window with no volleyball that week.
Yeah.
If you're a high school player or a club player.
Yeah.
And I ended up like going to my boss and getting a couple games off.
Oh,
so
great.
I'm missing Lakers on, I think it's like a Saturday, Tuesday. I'll be back Thanksgiving and then I'm working again Friday night for the game. But we're going for 4.5 days.
I love it.
Full itinerary set like to the minute, bro.
Do you
love
have
this.
Your pizza places that you're hitting?
She's got them.
Okay. Because Pizza Suprema on 8th and 33rd.
So you're going to have to write. We're going to have to write.
Okay.
This down
Boom. Over. Done.
Yeah.
One of the best. I know there's, you know, John's and Joe's and all that stuff and Ray's, but Pizza Suprema, unbelievable.
See, I love
that
this.
Was
I love
actually
the inside
Anthony
scoop.
Bourdain's favorite pizza
really?
Place in New York City.
Really?
Pizza Suprema.
Well, then I guess we're going there on Saturday.
And then my last one is if you like Spanish, The Village. Sevilla. It's been there since 1956.
Is that in like the
7th and Charles?
Yeah, that's we're going to that area.
Oh, it's great. It's like right over those brownstones where like Sex and the City was filmed and everything.
Big wife's a big Sex and the City fan, obviously.
Yes. As
New York
are,
is okay. Yeah, I mean it's phenomenal.
Sevilla is one of my favorite restaurants. It's like
I'm excited.
It, Spanish.
We're going to do the tourist thing, which I've never really done. We'll walk all over Empire State Building and that, you know, that kind of stuff that like
you got to have a hot dog. On the streets. They're good.
They're good.
They're
I've
really
had that.
Good,
I've done
dude.
That. I've done that. I've done that.
And people are like, oh, I wouldn't do that. Across from the St. Pat's right there, that hot dog guy.
You know what? I'll post this pod before we leave.
Yeah, so we can
so
remember.
That
we've
got it as
I got to tell you, great. I've never, this is, I don't know, whenever, I've been in New York a number of times, not a ton, but it always feels like a quick trip. So this feels like a little bit more of like, you know, so I'm there for a reason or it's fast or
have
this
cocktails
be the first time
throughout the day.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Everyone's drinking.
Amy put together a spreadsheet for our itinerary.
Yeah, Amy and Jess should get together. This is—I bet it's very similar.
Yeah. So
there's a little pocket I saw on Sunday's itinerary. This is what I love about my wife, because there's like a little shopping window where they're going to go to some shopping. And then
shopping
on that,
too.
She had sports bar for me because love she
that.
Knows that I'm addicted to football.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Fantasy.
There's so much.
I mean,
good.
It's all. I mean,
I love
so
that.
Many good places.
That's a good woman.
Well, listen, I'm excited for you guys both going to New York City. It's a great time. I always feel like Chris, every time from Thanksgiving to Christmas, that whole holiday time right there, New York is just vibing. Mm-hmm.
I've only been one time during December. I went for a couple days, and this is probably 4 or 5 years ago with my wife, and I went for an event. This is so cool. You guys will like this. I've always done stuff for Oakley ever since my beach volleyball days, and Q&As. Worked the pro-am events, just done stuff for them. When I was announcing AVP, I'd wear their glasses. So I get a call, and they're like, hey, can you come out? Quick trip, 48 hours. We'll put you up. We'll fly Jess out with you. And you're just going to do like a Q&A with Saquon Barkley. He was Rookie of the Year at the time.
Oh, Giants, yeah.
It was just ending, right? And it was, you're going to do it at the Oakley store, and it'll be an hour long. Get a couple grand. We'll pay for you. I'm like,
done.
Sign me up. Didn't have to miss any games. Just missed a couple of shows on a Monday, Tuesday. Wife and I took Red Eye Sunday, right? Following me? All good. My buddy Judd Bushler at the time is coaching the Knicks, assistant coach. I'd never been to the Garden. We get tickets that night. We go to the Knicks. We're going to catch after. We're having a great time. Here's what happened, though. So the whole day, we walked around, did all the touristy stuff. My wife and I just had a great day together. The next day, I was supposed to work. The Oakley guy that hired me, my friend, I got him the Knicks tickets. He's sitting next to me. We're like behind the Knicks bench, up a little bit. Across from us on the floor is Saquon Barkley, and he's like, dude, I'm texting Saquon's guy, agent right now. I don't think he can do the gig tomorrow. Something with the NFL, blah, blah, blah. He's like, so you might just have a free day. And I'm like kind of like elbowing my wife going, I'm going to get a free day.
Yeah.
Another day in New York. Not going to have to work. And I'm still going to get paid.
Oh, my God.
Sure enough, that's a great day. End of the game, Saquon's out. Didn't ever have to interview him, which would have been cool.
Yeah,
but
sure.
I still got paid. Yeah. And we had the whole next day to go do the whole thing. Now, my point was being, I had never been there at that time. So to see the tree and all that stuff, like you said, it was the most, it just it's was electric. The and we had good
New
weather.
York City's the best.
It was so awesome. It really is truly, and I think that's what crushed it, right? Like during COVID, I think it like lost a little bit of that vibe and it's back.
Sure. Yeah.
So I think that's really cool.
We can't it's wait. We're hopping. Excited.
Yeah. You know what it is too?
Weird story just thrown in the middle of the podcast,
right?
Everything
is so condensed and small there that people love to get out and socialize in the bars and in the restaurants. It's packed. It's
the
great.
First time you ever go to Times Square at like night, I remember staying at a hotel down there a long time ago, AVP, doing something. And I was like 11:30 at night. I fly in. I was solo. And I remember like going down to get something to eat. And you see like the place is on fire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like, and you're like, this is insane. Yeah. That's what I love about that city. Doesn't matter when you get in.
Yep. Doesn't matter.
We're pumped.
Yeah. That's awesome.
We're pumped.
Well, I mean, that was a great three dubs right there.
Yeah.
And I think we got to go officially introduce our amazing guest. Chris Geeter McGee, ladies
Love
and gentlemen.
This. Love it.
We all
it's
know
be fun
him
today.
As the voice that started our summers. Yeah. It was the AVP for close to 15, 20 years. Mm. I remember watching and just turning it on. I'd hear your awesome voice. Always then go watch some epic battles.
Were you living here then?
I've been in Manhattan Beach since 2002.
So I was, I was the voice that you heard.
And Trey was still working for the AVP.
Trey Comstock.
Yep, and Leonard was running the AVP at the time.
Were you friends with Trey back then?
Absolutely.
Do you remember when we put his phone number on the video board?
Oh my gosh.
And he would get, oh dude, it's a true story. He was single at the time, so I would be like, he's disease-free, this is Trey, all day Trey. He'd come out and dance.
No longer.
He was actually a great, great dancer.
Yeah. The Elvis costume.
So this is a true story. Trey was a kid back then. He's early 20s. We put his number on the screen in like cities. The amount of calls he would get, 1 a.m, 2 a.m, from dudes like going, what's up, Trey? Like, no way. You got to ask him about it. If you ever have him on this podcast, you guys have to remember that. It was like 430-1360, whatever his number was. And it was up there, and we'd only flash it for a minute. And dude, he was always like, and he would be like, years later, he'd be like, dude, I still get random phone calls.
No,
like,
that's awesome.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, so I was the South voice that you would hear, which was a really cool gig, man. Yeah. That was, pretty
special
time.
I mean, also, that was like the resurgence of the AVP.
Yeah.
Because it's gone through such peaks and troughs and so much. Like, I remember.
Every 10 years, it seems.
I've been trying to make this documentary called Kings of the Beach forever.
We talked.
I know.
Yeah.
And which it should be made and eventually will.
You had awesome footage, though. You had some
great
stuff.
Great stuff. Yeah. And I don't know why it was almost there. We almost had a buyer, but then it just didn't go through. But the stories from like the Hovland and Dodd days to the St. John and Stoklos to the rivalry,
Karch, and then it was like the Carrie Missy takeover.
Yes.
Like, it was just
right.
It was a bummer to see it go. Oh, it's funny, when I started, it was down.
Right. Yeah.
That's how I actually got hired, was when it was in its first fall from
it was at its
which
lowest
was the
point.
Heyday, yeah. Right? Like the 80s, 90s were the heyday. Yep. And then right after the Atlanta Olympics in 96, you're thinking it's the hottest sport in the world at that time.
Sure.
And it went under because of the way it was managed, because Miller Lite pulled out, and because of the way it was running. People lost all that money. So it was like trying to like survive, and that's when I was hired as an announcer just to help. And the next thing you know, I became the full-time MC. And I had no schooling in it or anything, but like I started then. So I saw it be passed on 3 different times from 98 to 01. And then, Billy Berger had it for 2 years. And then Leonard took it over. And it really skyrocketed with Misty, Carrie, the women and men coming together. Remember, it was just men when I was announcing for the first few years. Misty and Carrie coming over, the women and men together, NBC on board again. And it just like blew up again. Yep. So it was so amazing to see. I went to Beijing. I got to announce the Olympics there. And then to see it fall again in 09 was like, but honestly, guys, it kind of set me on my path to where I'm now. So I guess there's some good came out of it for me, but just to see it, like you guys said, just the falls and the declines and the rises.
Yeah.
But at least I was there for one of the rises.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And
can I ask you while we're talking about this, I was going to ask later, I know a good amount of people who are trying to figure out like why am I here? What is my thing that I'm doing? How do I best use what I'm good at for my next career? Because I think a lot of us come out of college, you take a job, that's what you do, right? You did not start off thinking that you were going to be an announcer.
I really
didn't. Or a broadcaster. What were you doing, and what made you even think that you should throw your name in the ring?
It's funny. Like, I look back, when you look back on your childhood or your life and in sports, I just always thought I'd be a coach and a teacher. I think when I was 5, I told my mom I was going to be a priest. She was overwhelmed with joy.
There's certain rules that would
prevent
being
the Italian Catholic. She was overwhelmed with joy. That did not last long once I found out, you know, you're not going to get married and have kids. And so it changed.
Yeah.
And then, you know, growing up in the Valley here in L.A., I thought I would play 3 professional sports, Lakers, Dodgers, Rams, and then that didn't happen. Got to high school, and I just was like, the path, honestly, guys, like, I played volleyball at Cal State Northridge. I was an okay player. I was better at other sports. I picked up volleyball late, but ended up playing it in college and was like a role player. And I think a lot of that shaped my path and where I was going. I never thought of like entertaining people. I think my friends would tell you I was entertaining, and I was fun at games. We'd go heckle other teams and stuff like that. But it was just a teacher and a coach, and I started doing it immediately after college. So it wasn't about emceeing or anything like that. Like, that was my path.
Yeah.
And I tell college kids, when I go speak to college or high school students now, I'm always like, I'm going to tell you my story. Might sound really fun and really cool, but it's not going to be your path. Like, you guys are already further along than I ever was, right? Kids in college now are editing, shooting. They're in front of the camera. They have news stations on campus. They're calling games. They have a broadcast, play-by-play analyst, all this stuff. None of that was in my... So I had to learn on the fly. I also didn't start till my late 20s, really, if you think about it, TV-wise. Like, I always say, I mean, this will date us, but like Cliff Clavin, who played Cliff Clavin, the actor in Cheers.
Right.
You know, I always remembered this, and I don't know why it stuck with me. But back then, I remember people saying he didn't act till he was like 40 years old.
Right.
He got that job. And I always thought like, oh, maybe I'll be an actor one day at 40. That's what's amazing is I didn't start announcing till... And honestly, you know how I picked up a microphone? You guys will never believe this. They used to have the six man here?
Yeah.
We used to do one in the 90s and 80s in Cabo. Female, males, though, combined. You'd have 2 females on your team and the rest male. And there'd be like 8 teams down there. And they did it on Easter weekend when the AVP was off and all the guys would go. We were all in our early 20s.
Right.
I had never been to Cabo in my life. 23, 24 years old. It's my first time going. My team loses. I'm out in the water. And it's just like a 3 or 4 day rage off, right? Like, you're just having the best is 94,
right.
95.
Yeah.
You can imagine what we're doing. And I'll never forget, one of my buddies came swimming out. And he's like, Gator, they need a guy to announce the finals. Go do it. I had no idea what I was doing. Barely had a voice. So I picked up the mic and I announced the finals. And they were just feeding me cocktails. And I was like doing all these voices, Marv Albert. I was just making things up.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Macarena just came out.
Oh,
I knew it when no one else did. So I'm doing that. I'm breakdancing, just doing my whole shtick that like I did in college. And swear to God, guys, 3 years later, when the AVP was looking to shake things up and get new announcers, they already had 2 legendary announcers, Jim Marico, who's a mentor, Sam Lagana. Both those guys had other jobs, had wives that were pregnant. They needed someone to kind of help. And all the boys, like my buddies that played on tour, were like, Geeter, our friend Geeter can do it. And John Stevenson, who at the time was running the AVP because it had folded. John Stevenson was a former player, no longer with us. He was like, was that the guy that was announcing in Cabo?
Oh, no way.
Really?
And they're like, yeah. He's like, oh, that guy's great. I went and started like hanging out with Jim Marico, going to tournaments. I had no idea how to announce. That's how it started. I was 25 years old.
See? That's
It is a natural thing.
That's awesome.
It is natural. Like, I say a lot when we're doing these podcasts, I always say to Amy after, like, Tommy, I think, is a natural interviewer.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he knows how to be an interviewer. And you see a lot of these former athletes get on TV, and they're either great or they are terrible.
Right? Yeah.
And I would argue most of the people, like, for example, on NBC Sunday Night, I can't stand it.
Yeah.
They're just not good at it. Whereas you, you know, I'm a Pistons fan, right? But so I've always followed the Lakers, of course, living here now. And then, but when you coached my daughter, Lainey, the first time, and I think I was over at, you know, Matt Smith's house, we were talking about it. And so we started watching the pregame. And like, you're natural.
That's so funny. I remember those days too.
They were 6, I think. But
they were 6.
But you have a natural on camera ability and sort of, you know, being dexterous where you can just throw it back this way and take anything that's coming to you.
I mean, Chris, I appreciate that. I don't know, like, I'm trying to think back to where it started. And like I said, like maybe being in my mid-20s, and I give the AVP a lot of credit because there's something that I did there that I was able to take into my new jobs. Thinking on the fly, no script, being out in front of people.
And not, no pressure.
No pressure. Yeah. And then the pressure coming when NBC was like, we're starting the show with you. 3, 2, and there's no, I was always told when that red light goes on, there's, you can't practice for it. So I remember the nerves that went into that, but then delivering and giving like a screaming and So I was learning how to do that. And all of a sudden it was hitting me to get back to your initial question. Like I'm into my mid 20s and I'm like, man, I like entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I'm getting off on like making people laugh and hitting a big point. Cause really it's that role of MC at the tournaments was kind of play-by-play and analyst. I'm solo up there. I'm not on TV with Marlo and Sunderland, but I'm the guy that they're hearing, and I'm calling the play.
You're guiding the viewer.
So it was interesting how, like, coming up with my own sayings and all that. So, like, when NBC came to me and said, hey, Gita, we want to use you on as a little sideline hit, I didn't even know what it meant. I'm like, sweet, yeah, sure, absolutely. What does that mean? Oh, we're going to put an IFB in here. I have no idea what an IFB is. Okay, great. You know, hey, be quick, 30 seconds. Like, we want to just talk about what nicknames you use on tour. So they started, like, coming down to me. They liked it. So I, like, started to go, you know, I'm 27. I'm like, man, this TV thing's kind of cool. Fox was really big into AVP at the time. Like, they had a show called Dig. I ended up hosting that for 6 years. So they first had me on as a guest. Fast forward 2 years, I'm hosting it. So I went to school at Santa Monica City College with Lee LeGrand, a dad in this town.
Yeah.
Dane Blanton, former gold medalist, who's now the head coach at USC Beach. We went and took a guy named Lou Riggs, who was a huge mentor for me, passed away a few years back. And Lou mentored a lot of young broadcasters. Oh, and wow. I took Lou's class at 27 years old at Santa Monica City College.
Wow.
Broadcasting 101.
That's
with a bunch of kids. And awesome. But he knew me from the AVP, and he liked me, and he believed in me when I, like, something. Because he would say, hey, come with me. Let's go do a Santa Monica High School game. So I would go sit up in the bleachers with him, and we'd do a Santa Monica High School game. We'd do UCLA games. And he taught me. By the way, all through those years, up until he passed away, all those years when I became a high school football play-by-play announcer for Fox, he would see my tapes. I'd drive out to the Valley from here once a week. We'd break them down. When I started becoming a reporter doing freaking Laker games or Pac-12, like no idea what I'm doing sideline. He was the one that broke them down. Voiceovers. You're going too fast. That's where he said, you're not the AVP announcer anymore. Right. It was interesting. He's the first guy to ever tell me that. He's like, you're going so fast on your reports and your voiceovers. Yeah. You have to slow down. I didn't know how to. Remember, AVP's like, hey, gentlemen. Yeah, quick, slow down. So kind of like this podcast. Editing's going to be, I mean, I'm just talking a mile a minute.
I mean, it's just.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I got a long day ahead of me.
I had these unbelievable mentors, but I didn't start till I was like 27.
That's great.
Life gave
you. Yeah, so that's like, think about that, guys. That's 97 when I'm announcing. 98. I'm starting to get gigs. 04, like really starting to get TV gigs from 2000, 2004. It was like all through friends and, hey, do play-by-play for a Wyoming basketball game or CBS College Sports, all these things. By 04, I'm like really starting to get it going. 06, I'm 35 years old. I quit. I was an athletic director. I said, I'm going all in. 35.
Wow.
Quit teaching, quit coaching. Still coach club volleyball. Still do. I quit all that stuff. No more hoops coaching, no more athletic director, no more teaching. Straight into TV, put all my eggs in that basket with AVP.
Boom.
If I would have never done that. Right. 35, I took the leap.
That's great. Awesome.
51
it's
now.
Never too late.
Did you have kids at 35?
So, it's a great question. So I was married. We were married in 05, pregnant, and child in 07. So it was right before. Scary time, too, because like when we did that, we were living on 4th Street in Manhattan Beach. We were renting a house right next to the Comstocks, the Lyman House, legendary house on 4th Street. And I, you know, all of a sudden, like, to be honest with you guys, like, so I, from 96 to 06, I'm at a little private school called Wildwood, and it's a nice, tiny little salary, but it's benefits, and it was safe, and it was always there.
Family.
And they were really good with me going all over the country to announce and do things. And every time I got a gig, I had a great head of school that was that supported me. So I've always been lucky in that regard, but it was scary to lose that, you know, at the time, whatever it was, $60,000 and your health benefits and go, okay, I'm on my own. We got to start a little Chris McGee Inc. and everything's got to be through that. And I got to get benefits. And so, And then it was funny, guys. Like, it just started to... But here's the deal. The AVP at the time, as you had mentioned earlier, Tommy, was booming. Yep. And I was doing a lot for them. And they paid me really well. And I was doing TV. I was hosting their shows. And I was emceeing. And I kind of did a package deal. And I did a package deal. I had some great sponsors. Yep. So that was my bread and butter that allowed me to quit. And then all the other TV stuff, I'm just picking up and flying all over the country. And then when the AVP went bankrupt in 2009, I don't know how we got on this, but I remember the day they called me and told me. And that was, a huge
right.
amount of money. It was what I, it was my, and I'll never forget, it's the only time I ever, like, lost a job where I just remember driving around town, and I called a friend of mine named Jimmy Kelly, and I didn't grow up with Jimmy, but Jimmy was, do you guys know the name Mike Whitmarsh passed away?
Yes.
Former AVP star, 2009. He was like a best friend, one of my like top five friends, but he was a huge mentor in my life. Just a guy that was, he had two girls who are now college volleyball stars, but he had two girls and he was just a superstar, but he was also the greatest. He was like our Mickey Mantle, we would always say. Like, he was, he not only was he like our idol, he was our friend. And so he passed away and he was the guy I would have called, right? And I called Jimmy.
Silver medal?
Silver medal, 96 Atlanta. Yep. Great call, Tommy. And I called, Tommy's good.
Jesus,
I called Jimmy, and I'll never forget. I'm like, you know, here on 2nd Street where you come down to that like little corner right there, 1st and 2nd, you go up either to the John Street. And I called him out of the blue, and it was very random for me. And I was like, got emotional. I'm like, you know, he knew the AVP at the time. And I was like, Jimmy, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'll never like, Gates, he called me Gates. He's like, Gates, you're going to be good, bud. I'm like, this is it. You got to like pivot.
Yep.
Got to get out and go. And it did change my entire path. The AVP going under, which sucked for a lot of people, changed my path. Fast forward 3 years, and I literally am the host of the new Laker Network. It was a
that's great.
That's awesome. Freaking
miracle, it is. Dude. I recently went through this, and you lose your job or your livelihood or whatever through no fault of your own. It's decisions that other people are making that are bad, and then you can also. You can go down that path where you feel like, well, I don't have the value, but it has nothing to do with you. You do have the value, and other people will immediately see it, right? And that happened to you. So
It's like the Ryan Grant pod, where like you have to take a step back and understand, like, I didn't want this to happen, but you have to embrace it and find
but it did.
What's the silver lining, and how can I find positivity in this?
It's such
and
a great
actually
point.
Played with Mike Dodd in that.
Yeah, so. He played with Dodd. Such a good dude. And, you know, I'm always really amazed by people that can do what you said in terms of like something bad happens, like you maybe said unfairly or fair, either way, where you can step aside and say, okay, it's not woe is me. It's not feeling bad for yourself. How am I going to change this and reinvent myself or pivot?
It's not easy
to do. I think of Nick Christensen, who recently passed away, a legend in this town, a great surfer, a great man. He never complained about that shitty card he was dealt with, the cancer and everything else.
Yeah.
He just stayed so positive. He had this gnarly faith and belief. And it was just like hearing the stories at the service and people talking about him. And I love Nick. He was the first guy to give me great advice with a kid. He's like, do lunch duty at Robinson. Do PE. And I was like, with my youngest, she was five, and I started doing it. I did it her whole 5 years at Robinson. That's but that was awesome. Nicky C. who told me, you know, he had an older kid. And he was like, dude, Geeter, you got to be there, man. You got to be there. I was like, I do? He's like, yeah. Got to be there. You got to.
Yeah.
So, like, just hearing all those people about, like, you never complain. I'm like, God, man, I would probably be like, oh, what we, yeah, why me? Why me? But it's like, yeah, I always appreciate and respect people who can honestly, like, dealt a shitty hand.
What are we going to do?
What are we going to do?
Yeah.
What am I going to do?
You know, everyone knows your voice, and everyone, a lot of people in the South Bay know who you are. Everyone loves Geeter. You have to have a story or two that you couldn't believe some of the... Because, listen, it's summertime.
Yeah.
You're going around to beach cities all across the United States.
Yeah.
You know, especially in California.
Yeah.
It's fun. They make it's it... Fun. I mean, like, the one things that they did, which is why the AVP became prime time in the 80s, 90s, they would come into cities and blast out.
Yeah.
The stars would go out there, mingle, and they'd promote it. What are some good stories that you have?
You know, 08 Olympics for me was probably one of the great... moments.
Was that in Sydney? Australia?
It was in Beijing.
In Beijing, okay.
And it's where I formed a relationship with Kobe, so I always hold that Olympics very close to my heart. I knew Kobe was coming to watch Carrie and Misty. I was supposed to announce that game. There was a Swiss guy named Tom, and Tom was also announcing, and Tom was kind of a goofy guy, but awesome. I said, Tom, you're going to announce this game. I went to Sinjin, who was working for the FIVB, and I said, where are you putting Kobe in the dream team? He goes down in that down below. There was like, you know, sand level rooms. I went and just posted up in there. So all of a sudden, Kobe and like five guys walk in, and his guy Nico from Nike was with him. I knew Nico. Next thing you know, I'm hanging with Kobe for an hour, and he's asking me about Carrie and Misty, like, why that? Why this? Why this? And we formed a relationship.
Oh, wow.
Fast forward a few months, he sees me at Staples, gives me a hug, and now I'm their reporter.
Oh,
so I always had that connection with him.
That's so cool.
Yeah, but like, Sinjin saved me that day.
Oh,
he
yeah.
was like,
he's
he was
a good
like,
dude.
I got you. He's yep. like down in, so like that Olympics was really cool. You know, announcing that gold medal game, and it's a fun story, I guess. I'm announcing the gold medal match for Carrie and Misty. 20,000 people, okay, in Beijing. Millions watching. They said 68.
Wow.
And
jeez,
I'll never forget, they were on 100, and at the time, that would be 7, because 108 was the gold. They were on 107 match win streak. They had not lost since July 3rd. 2007. It's now August 14th, 2008. 13 months. Tommy's looking at me like, are you out of your mind? 13 months. Think about that. Going worldwide. This wasn't just AVP. They had not lost going back and forth to the whole world for 107 straight matches. The last time they lost was in China, July of 07, in the rain to the Chinese team. Guess who they're playing in Beijing 08? China.
Oh,
I pull
gosh.
Out the blinds. I open up the blinds at 6:30 a.m.
It's raining.
Dude, it's dark as can be in this howling rain.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, not today.
Yeah.
I was like, are you kidding me? Like, they're going to play. This is,
yeah.
It's like eerie. I got to the, I'll never forget getting there and like getting to my spot. And, you know, I'm under this like little, you know, like shed area, you know, with the DJs. And it's just everyone's nervous and people are kind of filing. It's early hour before the match, 45 before the match. And Carrie and Misty are warming up. And I'm like, I looked at the DJ, and I said, they're not losing. They had a look that I just was like, it's just reserved for the all-time greats.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've seen that look.
They were dialed in.
They were dialed in. Isaiah, when you're winning.
Zeke, yeah.
MJ, when he was playing in finals. Like, Brady, like, whomever. Bird, like, those guys, when they're locked in, it's over.
Yep.
Right.
It was over. And there was just this focus, like, I've used it with teams, I've used it with stories with people, like, it's just, there was something about being in that moment that they had prepared for, they had practiced for, they weren't going to let the moment or the elements, they were just going to warm up like they always warmed up with a certain look, but just another level, and they got into that match, and they didn't wow you, they didn't do anything special, you know, we say they sided out, they received serve, and they never gave up points, and they just beat you 21-17. And they're the same thing game two. They're pulling away, and the crowd was insane. And what I didn't know at the time was who was in the crowd, okay? Follow me on this. This is a fun story. Jian Jia was her name, I think. She always faked injuries. All of a sudden, she's laying on the sand, rolling around. She wants the 5 to 10 minute medical timeout. Carrie and Misty are about to win. They're about 4 points away. They're down by 3 or 4. She's now injured.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she got all the time. Carrie and Misty, not rattled at all, just came and sat right under the umbrella. She just sat there, and all of a sudden, like, the FIB guy's freaking out. Guy who's running the Olympics, he's like, get out there. So I go out there, and guy's playing music, and I'm screaming at, like, 20,000 fans and doing this whole thing. I learned these words, Jian Jia, God, yeah, Jia, I mean, go, you know, be like, USA, Jia. I'm doing all these things, and I'm like, all of a sudden he's playing music. I start doing all my BS dances, and I'm driving, and I'm like, I see my boys. It was Casey Jennings, Carrie's husband. And like Phil Dahlhauser, like the USA contingent, were up there.
Dad Rogers.
And I see my peeps, and I'm like, Jake Gibb, Rosie, MD, they're all up there. So I'm actually looking at them. What I didn't know was Vince was right there, Vince Vaughn.
Mm-hmm.
And the NBC crew was there. Al Roker, Mallard, I didn't know. So I'm like driving the bus back to Cali. I'm doing all these things. And I'm like doing the bus driver, which was like our favorite dance back in the day. I'm doing the worm. Anyways, she finally comes through. She's okay. She can play the rest
miraculous
of the game.
Miraculous recovery.
Carrie and Misty win. I go home, and I had a message. You know, we were partying. We had a great time. And what was funny about that night was I'm going in. There's like, we're at this big, big party at a bar. And there's a line outside, and I'm already in. And I see Vince Vaughn walking in like a little, they just let Vince in, obviously.
Yeah.
And he looks at me. And I had heard he was there, and I didn't know at the time. He looks at me, goes, driving back to Cali. Love it. Kept walking. I was like, this is the most amazing thing.
That's awesome.
What Vince doesn't know is I'm now coaching his daughter in volleyball. I got to bring that story up to him.
Lachlan's good.
But the NBC people were there. I got home that night. I had a message. They wanted me to go on the Today Show the next day to introduce Phil and Todd if they won. Well, Phil and Todd won the next day. They get gold that night because they did it at night, Today Show. So it's on at 7 in the morning in New York. And I introduced Phil and Todd. And I'm so nervous. And I brought one nice outfit. I don't know why I brought it. One nice outfit. And it was just hanging in my closet. I put it on. Beautiful shirt. My best shirt I had. Pants. I go to the thing. I'm in like a trailer with like the U.S. soccer team. Also now Roker comes in. He's like, Geeter! And I'm like,
wow.
Yeah. So true story. I'm like all nervous. And like Phil and Todd come out. They sit with Meredith and Ann Curry and Meredith Viora. And they were like sitting there and they're being interviewed. And my whole thing was like they were going to introduce me. And I was going to come out and do the intros. And I'm so nervous. I'll never forget, like, before those guys went on, they're like, Todd Rogers looks at me, he's like, dude, I've never seen you like this. He was like going, what is wrong with you? I was just, something in me. He's like, this is go time. Sure enough, I got the IFB in, and they're like, all right, Geeter, you're walking in on 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And now I'm, like, out there, and, you know, it's a live crowd. You're outside, yeah. And Meredith's like, well, we brought someone who you might know to introduce you. Here's Geeter. And it goes to me, and I go into the whole thing, and I'm just going. And all of a sudden, Al Roker's, like, standing over there where Tommy is, and I go, this one's for you, Al. I threw the mic at Al. No! and I just start worming in my nice gear.
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
Place goes crazy, segment end. So what was so funny is they were like, once it was done, they're like laughing and cheering, and Meredith and Ann are like, aren't you going to miss him? Like, they thought I was like a one-time volleyball announcer. And Todd Rogers was like, he's going to be in Cincinnati with us next week. Like, and that's when I was like, that's why our sport fails. They don't even know that we have a tour.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
but anyways, we go to commercial. And I'll never forget, I'm like feeling good. And all of a sudden, producer comes up to me and goes, hey, they want to know if you'll be on the rest of the show.
Oh, my gosh.
So I was on the Today Show for 3 hours. I did intros for Al Roker, Meredith, and I'm like, get me bullet points. Is. So that's, yeah.
That's
and then
awesome.
The last half hour of the Today Show, they started with me. I welcomed everybody. I'm like, welcome to the last half hour of the Today Show.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's cool.
Just let them know. Just keep
that's a volleyball
keep
story.
That,
that's
keep
a
that
story.
Magic going.
Keep it moving.
I know you that's wanted awesome. Some like raging party story, but somehow we went into that.
No, that's awesome.
That's a good one.
Yeah. That's historic.
Yeah. So,
great segue to get into now being a dad. Mm. You know, you said it earlier. There was a part where you were full time, all in teacher, wanting to just constantly coach.
Yeah,
that is great. You know, foundation for being a dad.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
Like, and then all of a sudden, you hit that point where you're like, I don't know what I'm doing. The AVP just failed. I feel like that's when you lean back on being a parent and being a husband, yeah. And then obviously then starting being, now you know you're being a dad, you have a growing family starting.
Yeah.
What was it like to realize that you're like, it's not about me anymore, it's about what I am providing for my family?
Scared.
Yeah.
Like, I remember being at Cedars in 07. And I remember the night before going in and thinking we're having the baby, and I walked in with the ball, you know, the big bouncy ball, yep. And I got the bags, and they looked at me like, "What are you? What? Like, go put that in your car."
Yeah.
Like, we haven't even seen her yet. Then they send us home, and then my wife tapping me at 6 a.m. saying it's go time.
Yeah.
And us going to Cedars, and it was really go time. And I remember, like, you know, all of a sudden it was like a set of Grey's Anatomy. The people are running over, and they thought there was complications, and they had to bring her to a room. And I got really scared, and we're gonna have to do an emergency C-section. I just remember being scared of things, and I remember like calling my brother and like getting emotional, and like I'm like, how am I gonna do this? And I will never forget, like, when the baby, they pull that baby out, and they look at you, and it's healthy, and everything's good, and like you have that moment of like, oh my God, everything's okay. You know, and I just, like, I'll never forget going to the, I was always told, go to the first, you know, when they bathe the baby?
Mm.
I was always told, go. Don't let the nurse take the baby.
Yep.
That's your time to go, because the mom's laying down and the mom's resting. Go. So I did it with both kids. So I went, and that was my moment, I think, where I was like, oh, shit's real.
Yeah.
I'm taking care of this one. All that other stuff does not matter.
Yeah.
All that other stuff mm-hmm. that's ever happened in my life. This is now what's important. And I just remember those first couple nights you're there, and then the night nurse who you think is now family, she's not.
No.
She's not going to go home with you.
Yeah.
And she didn't even care that we were leaving. I thought, like, we were best friends and we were going to send Christmas cards. There was nothing. And we left, and I remember driving like 22 home on a, I was like 22 miles an hour to, on La Cienega, and I was like, why is that guy driving so fast? Like, dude, I'm like, what do you mean? Like, no one's telling us how
there's
to put the
baby
in the car seat?
Yeah.
So I remember that, those times, just being really, you know, scared, but also like your just whole focus changes, right? So when the AVP went under and my life seemed like it was an up, just an upheaval, and my wife's pregnant with our number two, and I'm like, well, you got to provide for the family, you know, sorry, my throat, but you got to provide for the family. So that was kind of my whole deal, you know, like everything changes. It's not about you anymore. It's not about the bullshit. It's not about like who's voting for this person and who's voting for that person. At the end of the day, like, it's just outside noise, man. Like, Lakers losing is not the end of the world for me.
I went through a similar, almost exact experience, actually, at Cedars, where we were there for about 30 hours, and then they don't feed the dad, by the way. We should point that out. They should.
No one cares about you.
And then
Jerry's
they're like,
Deli's
hey.
Right there, though.
Yeah. You know, you picture you've seen. Yeah. We had Jerry's Deli.
Yeah, yeah.
You grow up your whole life picturing like you're going to be there and it's this magical moment, push. And then they're like, nope, we're going to the operating room right now. So it's not just that they're pulling this kid out.
Yeah.
It's also that your wife has gone through some trauma.
That was scary.
And they just hand you this baby. And, but I remember mostly that Lainey was due July 8th and I had this date in my head. Okay. I got a month left to do whatever I got to do. Nope. 2 weeks early. It's not up to you anymore. It's not on your timeline anymore. This is happening and you got to react and deal with it. And this is a human life. And now I'm thankful for that extra 2 weeks that I got with her because she was born prematurely. But they just hand you this kid and they're like,
here you go.
Here you go. Can I take a video of how to swaddle? You know,
swaddle. I did swaddle.
Yeah. Can you do that again slow, please?
Isn't it, you know, okay, listen, there's nothing like the instincts that a mom has, right? It's truly incredible. And I can't explain it because I'm not a mother.
Right.
But I'll say to dads, like, there's also things that kick in for us.
Oh, yeah.
That I never knew I had that ability. I never had a little sister. I never had a little brother. Yeah. I never had a little cousin I had to take care of. Like, I never had to do any of that stuff. So, like you said, you're flying. It's like going to IKEA and they give you a bunch of stuff. You know, IKEA, you got to build it yourself. And you're like, dude, I can't do this. Where are the directions, right? Like, what are we even talking about? They give you a baby and you're like, you go home and thank God you have mom.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But then you also have your instincts that kick in that are kind of cool, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
It's funny. You can, you know, I'm like, did you ever hold babies growing up? Like, I didn't.
No.
But then you get yours.
Yeah.
And I don't know, fast forward a couple weeks, you're holding her like a football.
Oh, yeah.
You're all good to go. But I'm not doing that with anybody. Yeah. I feel real good with
that. Oh, yeah. Very, very secure. You're not.
And you didn't care about changing a diaper. Wasn't that the weirdest?
No. I get peed and pooed
thing,
on
maybe. And... Yeah. Because you wouldn't do that for like Chris's kid.
No.
Right?
You only do it for your own.
That's
it. Geeter, what are some lessons that you took from your parents that you put into yourself and providing for your kids?
Love that. So my dad passed away 6 years ago. My mom has had advanced Parkinson's for like 10 years. So what's crazy and the reason why I bring that up is I think back on my childhood a lot and I can't really talk to them about it. So my brother and I are always trying to remember things. But one thing that really sticks out forever, and I knew it when I had kids and I started to think about my own life and living in this town, like we didn't have much living in the valley, but we had a lot, if that makes sense. Like my dad worked for the city of LA, you know what I mean? Like he was a city inspector making $60,000 a year since he was 20 years old, got to retire at 55 with a pension. They moved down to San Diego. My mom worked at my high school. Like there wasn't a lot of money there, but I didn't know it. I mean, I knew I wasn't rich, but I went to a Crespi High School, which was a private school. My mom worked there. We didn't have to pay it wasn't big tuition back then, but they made it work. I went to a little tiny St. Catharines of Siena. Like I went to good schools. I always had a pair of hoop shoes for the new season.
Yeah.
I look back at all of our vacations and it was in a camper down to south to San Alejo and Carlsbad in San Diego. And we'd go for 6 weeks back and forth my whole childhood until I got to high school. Then I could only go for a couple because of hoops. But that was what they did for 30-something years with like six other families. And it was magical. And so many memories for me go back to that. We did a camping trip to Montana and all these places. One time we went, did all that. I was young, so I don't remember it all. I still go home and see the pictures. but we weren't flying anywhere.
Right. They made it work.
Yeah.
We didn't have that ability. I didn't know it at the time. I didn't ski.
Right.
Growing up, which is really a bummer because when our daddy and daughter group went to Mammoth, I was on the magic carpet with the other five-year-old girls and all the dads are bombing Black Diamonds.
Close to beer, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Much closer to the beer.
Matt Smith, he's bombing the Black Diamonds. Yeah. And
he's a show-off.
I'm on the magic carpet at 41. So,
but they still made it feel special.
Still made it feel special, and I always think back to that. And what's funny, guys, is I remember thinking, my kids have been to Hawaii 7 times. Or whatever. Yeah. I look back to, and I'm like, but on my 50th, they surprised me. And they know my favorite thing. On Friday, they picked me up, my wife and my 2 kids. They took me to Sano. I love Sano. Love longboard at Sano. We had a little barbecue. A bunch of friends came down. It was kind of cool. Didn't really expect that. And then they took me that night, which was the surprise part, down. We stayed at the campground was all sold out, San Alejo. But we stayed right above it at this little hotel. And we walked through the campground. I had not walked the campground since I was 17 years old.
Wow.
And I was having all these, we camped there. And my kids, it was amazing, guys. And the reason why I bring it up is they were and we went to all of my favorite restaurants back in the day when I was a kid, that were the ones that were still there. But what was amazing was they were Millie and Luca, my daughter's I want to do this. We got to go camp. And I was oh my God.
Yeah.
They've had some amazing trips.
Right.
That you provide now because that's what we do, right? You want your kids to have a better.
Sure.
But I think back and I go, they did an amazing job of never making my brother or I stress about where life was, stress
or
about
the financial
money,
implications
stress about
that we
anything
don't this yet, you know, that, but we still make it feel like it's as special as going to Hawaii.
You know, it's funny, when my dad passed away, my brother's like, you're doing the eulogy. I'm not, I can't do it. So I'm like, oh, for sure, you're great at, but I'm like, yeah, dude, but it's different when you're eulogizing your dad or somebody. It's a lot of pressure and a lot of and I couldn't think of anything.
Emotion.
And all of a sudden, it hit me the night before. So you guys got to understand, for 3 days, I'm looking at this trying to type some out.
Right.
I keep going. You're trying to find a theme.
Yeah.
And, my mom was the outgoing Italian, hugged everyone, emotional, passionate, dance, so fun. And my dad was always came from a different background. Irish father was way older, would get physical with him when he was a kid, died when he was young. My dad kept it in, but he went to every game. He went to every practice, drove us everywhere. They would make us our lunches. That was his thing. And I started thinking about it. And my whole theme became, they say I'm my mom, but I'm a lot like him because that's what he gave me. That's what that was I get the water bottles. That's how I know how to show it.
Yeah.
I make sure they're there on time. You know what I mean?
Does totally.
That make sense? AYSO, whatever it is. I was like, oh my God, I'm my dad. I always thought I was more like her. So it was a kind of a cool moment for me. So I love that question because I think that's what they gave me. They gave me that foundation, that background of we're going to take care of you.
Yeah.
You're going to have a good life.
Yep.
We'll put you in position to be successful. The rest is on you.
Yeah.
Right? So.
What do you like to do for your daddy time when you just give your wife a break?
Yeah.
And take the girls. And what do you like to do?
That's cool. Damn, you guys are good. I would say with Millie, my older one, we have this she's my charger. She wants to, I'm in. I want to travel. I want to go to this. I've taken her to a Texas football game and a volleyball game because my buddy's the head coach at Texas for volleyball. And she's all in at 10 years old, 11 years old. But she's my little let's get in the car. Let's go down to Doheny. Let's go to Sano. Let's go to Pipes. We've taken day trips down to San Diego, surf the longboard, get our food, come back in the same day. So she's my little, that's kind of our thing.
Yeah.
Big volleyball. She's a great volleyball player. Beach, indoor, and we've definitely bonded over that. I coached her for a lot of those years. It wasn't easy,
Did she immediately love volleyball, or was it something?
Yeah, she did. She did pick to it pretty quick and love it. It gets pretty serious, and she's a balanced kid, so she's not it's not her life, which I love, but it's a big part of it.
It's beach volleyball HQ right now.
Yeah, it's headquarters. Yeah, man, it's in Costa Indoor.
We were talking with a few dads the other day about Sunday mornings getting the girls together with us because it's something that we can do. I mean, I can't jump, but...
it's so fun. Yeah. So I think that's my older daughter more, the beach days are kind of our thing. I think my little one, who's now a sixth grader, she's my one that's I don't know. She loves to go to the games. Yeah. So does my older one. But like, she wants like she went to a Laker game the other night, and it was their first one of the year. And it's funny. The team was 2-10, and she's acting like it's game seven. She's so excited, and she's like, "But I like when you're there because I was doing the show there." So she's like, she likes to go with me. Like the other night, I'm still coaching her. Our thing is like, let's go to get some, like, let's go dinner, the two of us, because I'll take her where she wants to go, Raising Cane's, or, you know.
Yeah,
so, right. Like, we kind of have that little, you know, thing like that, I think. So they're both unique in that way. I'm stoked to go to New York with them because that'll be the first time doing something like that. So it's different. Like, she's still my cuddler.
Yeah.
You know, the 15-year-old, she's going to be 15 in a couple weeks. Listen, man, like, you get high school girls.
Oh, I know.
It changes, guys.
Well,
it changes.
That's a great question that I have for you.
Yeah.
What's going on when you know you can't go say birds and the bees anymore? How do you talk to them about boys at that teenage girls? That's hard.
And also, I'm not like, there. You're not the guy anymore. Like, you're not the hero.
Dad,
you're not
embarrassing me here. Yeah. Stop saying that in front of them.
She's so great, my older one, though, with like really still keeping us involved.
Yeah.
She still talks to us for now. My wife have a great relationship. Like, they're very open with each other, and it's awesome. And, you know, I pick and choose when I can. And I think a lot of our talks, sure, we'll do around, like, did you do your workouts today? Volleyball? So I try not to pressure her, but I also want to, where's that line of how do I push? How am I dad? How am I your fan? How am I your coach?
Right.
It's a really tough, that's my biggest battle with the oldest one. But when it comes to, like, the boys, I think, like, I'll have a, you know, there's, you pick the mood when you can get, because there's nights where you go, hey, how's this? Fine. It's just like you, right? You don't want to talk about it. So I kind of, you got to sense the moment. And that's when, and sometimes she'll just be so open about it. And, like, it's kind of cool. And I still drive them to school when I can.
Nice.
Or to a game, her friends, and that's the best time.
Yeah.
I suggest you guys, whenever you can, it's like what Nikki C told me, be involved, like, drive them when you can, because that's where you hear everything.
Right. Just give them
the best is a car full, man. Car full of kids.
Yeah.
Pisano said that too. When he's taking long drives to take his daughter down to softball.
It's the best.
Long drives. He just asks one question, then just waits, and then she'll open up and start talking.
You just have to make yourself available.
And when you have friends in the car, their friends, it's the best, because then they're all talking. Because they feel comfortable with me there. They've known me. I've coached them all. Like, so I just been all like kind of pop in and be like, what about this guy? And then they get rolling. And it's like a lot. It's a lot of fun.
I was just going to say, we were last night.
Yeah.
During my dad of the year night.
By the way, 100% dad of the year night.
Unbelievable.
That's incredible.
Unbelievable.
But Ryan and I were just driving, and you just hear the girls in the back just talking back and forth. And then, like, at one point, Lainey was doing an impression of me, trying to get everybody ready for bed and all that stuff. And it's just fun to listen. You just have to. You have to make sure that you create enough of those moments so it can happen organically, I think.
I mean, honestly, that's one of the most baller moves. Like, that's just one of the cool. You got my head spinning. Like, I want to do that in January. I got to find that date.
Well, when she's 15 and doesn't want to talk to me.
Yeah.
Or I don't like her boyfriend. I'll be like, you know, when you were 11.
When you were 11, I took you to Harry Styles.
Yeah.
When did you get your daughter's phones, and do you monitor their social media platforms?
Yes, guys. It's cruel. Like, I can't. You guys have probably seen it in your own lives. Like, I just remember, and I'm going to get to your answer, but, like, I just remember when I had this job, the Laker job, Twitter was becoming a thing. I'm on Twitter. The team's losing, and people are coming after me because I'm the face you see.
Yep.
And I just never knew that side of life. Like, I'm sure we were all angry in the 80s at the Celtics and the Lakers and the Pistons, but there were no forums I could hop on and just abuse people. Like, So that really threw me, like, in my own life. Like, I remember when Luke was the coach, who was a dear friend, and he's getting abused, and I'm trying to stick up for him, and people are coming at me, and I'm, like, having wars with people who are in their basement, probably. Yeah. Like, why am I? So I've had to come a long way through that, but it's also helped me look at how my kids do social media and what can happen to them on social media, because you hear a lot of shit.
Yeah.
And you just have to be on it. Like, they have ways to have their own accounts. They have ways to post whatever they want. And you'll find out that, like, oh, does that parent not monitor that kid? Because they're
right.
So, like,
she's wearing.
You know, listen, man, it's okay to follow, like, you know, you have to have platforms where you can follow them all.
Yeah.
Right.
So you see what's kind of going on, and it's not easy, but you have to have a lot of talks about it. You have to talk about the dangers of it. You have to have a time limit on how long they can be on that. Like, The phone for Millie was more middle of sixth grade. We were late. Like, I would say the middle of sixth grade, I felt like she was one of the last ones in all of Formosa Valley at that age group to have it, because I remember in fifth and fourth in Robinson, people were getting them, and I'm like, there's no chance.
Yeah.
We were all trying to wait till eighth. We had a pact with some other parents, like, we're going to wait till eighth. It was impossible,
yeah,
because now they're doing stuff on their own, and they have no way to communicate with you.
Yeah.
So you didn't have social media yet. That came later. The phone came sixth, you know. Snapchat, Instagram come later. Your kids will come to you with literally bullet point presentations because they all pass the same one down. Here's the benefit. Right. Here's why I want to do it. If I'm not on Snapchat, how do I communicate with my friends? Like, you're going to get so all funny of that. Millie to this day in ninth grade still has to be like, Mom, can you approve time? So, like,
good,
you're on that
that's
for a
awesome
certain amount of time.
Yeah, that's good.
I'll tell you guys the one that's really interesting that flies under the radar, right? Like, let's face it, our kids aren't on Twitter. They don't care. They're not on Facebook. They don't even know what it is anymore. Instagram, mm-hmm, for sure, big one. Snapchat is the one they all want because that's how they communicate with, yep, each other. They're all on Snap groups. The one that flies under the radar to me is TikTok.
Oh,
see,
yeah.
That's new.
Because they see shit that we don't even know they're seeing, and you can scroll for days. And if you've seen your kids do it or whatever, like, it's just, and the stuff that pops up on there, you don't know what they're seeing.
No.
Violence, this, mute, like, so they learn and see stuff way before,
yeah,
you, wow, and I ever did. That's the one that gets me more than anything.
I mean, that's a new one, so parents don't understand it.
You
have to understand all these social networks are built, mm-hmm, to make money, not,
yeah,
to protect anybody or do whatever. Right?
They don't care.
And then our Lainey, she had TikTok, and she started, she'd like to watch a video, her, yeah, friends would pass videos.
Yeah.
It just turns you into a dumbass, number one. And then they 100%. Get angry when you pull the screen away from them, and it's just, you can't control what they're going to see. And there are, like, the great thing about the internet is that it gives everybody a voice. The bad thing about it is it gives everybody a voice. Just people I never needed to hear from.
Both can be true.
Yeah.
And you're right.
And social media, just in general, like, it is built to make money, and it exists to make you feel shitty about yourself.
And by the way, how much more couch time or chill time do they have because they're on it, right?
Right.
Like, when you're not on your phone, you go do more things. You're not just going to sit there. I know myself, when I'm up in the morning, I'm looking at,
yeah,
fantasy stuff, and, oh, yeah, it could be an hour can go by like that.
Oh, for sure.
Without you even remembering what you had to do that day. It happened, right, to me today. I'm like, wait, are we on today? Remember,
right,
I texted,
yeah,
you. I was like, because I'm just like sitting there wasting away,
yeah,
when I could have gone and surfed, or I could have gone and worked out. Mm-hmm. It can happen to us. 51 years old, right? So, oh, imagine, yeah, to a 14, 13, 15-year-old, yeah, kid. So there's a lot of bad with it, and you got to be careful. It's funny. I think of, like, you know, a lot of the kids out there where I think your biggest message to them is, like, especially if they're athletes, right, or whatever, like, hey, this stuff follows you,
mm-hmm,
now. Kids have lost draft positions in the NFL for something they posted the night before. You could get black. I mean, you're a female and a coach sees you doing,
yeah,
something, like, are they going to recruit you to their college?
Absolutely.
Right, you posted this.
So,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it follows you, and that's a tough-ass lesson.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, on Twitter, I am like, I'm not on it much anymore, which is great, but I remember my early years of the job, like, how many times I looked at my tweet and deleted it.
Yeah.
And Herm Edwards, I think, had that original when he was, like, meeting with all the rookies one time. He's like, there should be a do not tweet button next to the tweet,
the
like that flashes at you, like, dude, read this, bro. Are you sure you want to,
yeah,
tweet this? You know, one time after a couple beers early in my Laker career, Kobe hit a shot to beat the Mavs, and I think I was working that day, but later that day, I'm like just drinking a couple beers, and I'm on the couch, and the Sports Center's on, and it was Mark Cuban was really talking about, oh, they should amnesty Kobe. Remember that amnesty clause? Like, they should literally just get rid of Kobe. And it was Cuban being Cuban, but he had a point behind it. So when Kobe hit that shot, it was one of the first tweets he ever sent. It was like, amnesty that. And it was just like, oh my God, this guy's the biggest genius ever on Twitter. It was like,
yeah,
he would tweet once every 5 months and it'd be just this amazing thing. And I remember, like, I hopped on Twitter and I wrote, Kobe basically just told Mark Cuban to suck it. And by the way, I stand by that comment.
No, it's true.
The comment was true, but you know what? Became a thing. A couple days later, I got a call. People weren't happy. Got to my boss. I took it down.
Oh my gosh.
And it became a thing, like,
life
where people
here
would talk about it, like, in meetings. And it would get back to me, like, yeah, they keep using you as an example.
Oh.
Dude, like, it wasn't that. I mean, like,
I know.
And by the way, he did tell him to suck on this, is what he told him, and I love it. And but like, man, it got me that day. Like,
but it goes right to now you're teaching to your kids. Exactly.
Why am I tweeting?
It happened to me.
Yeah.
What kind of life experiences do you expose or want to expose your kids that matter?
I think I'm not going to put it at the top, but like something that just popped in mind when you were asking me the question was like the gift of travel, like knowing that there's life outside of our bubble. And there's a world out there that matters, and there's different cultures, and I don't want you to be scared of them. I want you to embrace them, and I want you to... I remember the first time we ever went to a place called San Juanico, Mexico. The surfers would know it as Scorpion Bay. We have friends that have a house there, and they invited us, and we went this summer, and it's just a special place. But the only time I went before that was, I think we went in 18. It was before COVID, so it's probably 18 or 19, and... What's cool about Scorpion Bay is you fly into Laredo, which is only an hour and 45 flight, but you have to drive 4 hours across Baja.
Ooh.
And it's dirt roads, and it was at night, and like there's potholes and there's animals, and fortunately we were with the family that knows the way and has lived there for 30 years, but like my kids were, you know, 11, and they were 11 and 8, and like, I gotta pee. Okay, pull over, and you're in the... You got to pee outside. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
And I just love that, like, to teach them, like, we're going through these little towns, and you go through these little towns in Mexico, and it's just, like, one lane, and it's just all these cool shops, and people are outside, and they all just do this, like that, and, like,
yeah.
It's funny. Millie, the first time, was like, to a guy, and Kate, who's 2 years older than her, who's been going to Mexico since she was born, and we're going to her house. Kate's like, Millie, it's not like, hey, it's just like a nod, like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
And so now the kids go through, and they're like, you know, like, it's just a respect. Like, hey, we're going through your town. We're not going to go 50 miles an hour. We're going to drive 10 miles an hour. We're going to give you a little wave, and we're going to keep cruising, and, you know, we're going to stop and buy your groceries.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so I just love, I bring that up because it was like, I want them to have those life experiences where, you know, we're all from different backgrounds.
Yeah.
I also want them to understand, like, the value of a dollar and the value of, like, listen, you live in a town. Let's be honest,
different
guys. We live in a place that is
magical.
It is magical, and it is
surreal.
It is, and it's almost like, I'm not going to say it's not real, but it's like, it's just crazy when you go to the outside world, and even our country, people are like, oh my God, you're from Hermosa Beach, you're from Manhattan Beach, like, what is, oh my God, like, the houses are so expensive. People have a lot of money. There's that keeping up with the Joneses feeling like, wow, that person's house is bigger. My God, that person's dad does this, or that person's mom does this, or look, they get to go to this place, and like, we can't do that.
Yeah.
And you have to understand that, and you got to be okay with it, and that's the world we live in, and we go to some nice places, but we can't go do that,
right?
We can't do everything,
right.
And we can't just buy clothes, and we can't just, you know, we're going to New York, and that's a real special thing, and guess what? We're not going anywhere for Christmas week, like, this is the one we're going to, you know what I mean? And teaching them that value of, like, let's be happy with what we have, and let's appreciate what we have, because one day, if it's not there, you can't melt down and quit. You got to go.
Great,
like, adversity. Like, listen, guys, we haven't faced a lot of adversity. I'm not talking about my family, my kids. Like, in terms of, like, you've won a lot of medals, you've won a lot of this, you've been on good teams, or you've been in good schools, and you have great friends, and you've gone on great trips. You haven't, like, what about that kid that has to play to literally survive, or play and go travel 2 hours to go to a team because there's no team in his neighborhood, right? Like, there hasn't been a ton of adversity. So that's always my biggest fear is, like, hey, when you get socked in the mouth, not literally, but like when you get knocked to the mat, or you're down, or you lose, or someone beats you out for their position, are you done? Or are you going, okay, I got to get better?
Yep.
Because that kid who keeps getting beat but wants to be there is going to get better.
Right.
Because they're going to say, I'm going to work harder than you.
Yeah.
But if you're cruising, and that's one of my biggest fears about living in this town, right? Like, we got it pretty good, man, because you know what? Doesn't work out. I'm going to walk 3 downs to the beach. I'm going to go have a great time, and I'm going to have all, you know. So, you know.
Right.
You want,
it's like all the good music has always come out of, like, Midwest cities or Seattle, because, like, the weather sucks and there's not as much opportunity.
Yeah. Seattle, you're in that basement with your boys just playing guitar.
That's all we got.
Yeah.
We always like to end our dad section with, how do you want to be remembered as a dad?
I wish I didn't think about this a lot, but I do. And I don't know if I have the answer in a short version, but I'll say this. When I think about it, it's like, what are my goals? Man, I gotta walk down the aisle with my girls.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to walk down the aisle. I better be here for that. I want to walk down. I got to make sure I'm still going strong because I want to be there for those days. I would love to see him have kids, right? So your goals start to change. It's not about I want to live in that house or I want to be able to do this or I want to be rich and famous. I want to be in a good spot when my kids are moving on. I want to be around. That's number one. But I want them to, I think what my biggest goal is, and it's, dude, I mean, listen, it's an ego thing and it's a selfish thing, but it's how I feel. So like, I hope and I pray that when down the road, when they're parents and they're older, that they have an appreciation. They look back on what mom and dad did and they're like, we had such a great life.
Yeah.
They did this. My parents, I want them to like really love what they had and love us for that. And I know that's an ego stroke.
It's amazing.
But it's true.
It is.
It's
true.
What that's, I want. That's the like dad's dream. If I had one wish, that's the dad's dream. Not to be that hero again, but to be like, man, I had it. Dude, my dad. Like, I'll give you guys an example real quick. Like, it just made me feel so effing good the other night. So I hadn't been to the arena in a long time. The last time we did our show from the arena, we do about 5 or 6 shows. The pregame show from the arena. You know, we're always in the studio here in El Segundo for Lakers. And the last time we were there, James Worthy and I, they send 2 of us at a time, was March like 12th, 2020, the game before they shut it down.
Oh, wow.
And I was there, and the league shut down 2 days later. It's the last time we had done our show because the next year there was no fans. Last year we didn't do it. Here we are on the next year, and they sent us back, and we had the greatest time, and my kids went to the game. So I'm like, hey, I'm doing the game next Sunday. I'm like, you guys haven't been to a game yet. They're always bugging to go, and Jess is like, oh, let's go. I think that'll be perfect, like 6:30 game, not too late. Millie got to bring a friend because I got them 4 tickets. They got the park, like really set it up, you know. Because like I don't send them all the time.
Right.
They go a couple times a year.
That's good.
Because that's how it should be.
Yep.
You don't get to go 41 times a year,
yep.
right?
Yeah.
But when they went, they go pretty damn special.
Yep.
And they were so excited. They're in their jerseys and they get there early and they're like, you know, I put a bunch of pictures on Instagram, but they're like on the floor watching my show. And it was funny that night, like, you know, got him into the chairman's room at halftime, like pulled some strings and they were just like looking around and Lakers won. And later we got home that night and Jess was like, you know, Millie and Luca were in the car and they were like just talking audio, like, dad's got the coolest job ever. And dude, it just felt, sorry. It felt so good.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
No, don't
it
be
felt
sorry.
So good. Like, it's great. It's like, man, I hope I have this job for the day. Like, right. It was a great feeling that in their eyes.
About that.
That was really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is so fun.
That's kind of what my legacy, you know, or our legacy, my wife and I, hope that they just grow. And I hope they grow up being like kind people, right? Like
good
people,
I
sure.
To treat people well, man. And like be a good teammate, be a good friend. Don't be just about yourself, but like be about like, I don't know, because this day and age, it's all about ripping each other down. And you're on that side, I'm on that side. And if you have a different opinion than me, then I don't like you. Like, I think that's bullshit, man. For me, it's like, oh, you have a different opinion? Cool, let me hear about it. Boom. Like, all right, I might not vibe with that, but doesn't mean you're a bad person or I hate you, right?
Right.
So,
Friends of the Pod shout outs brought to you by South Bay's luxury realtor, Brooke Billings. Looking for a home to buy or sell in Manhattan Beach, Hermosa Beach, or anywhere in the South Bay? Look no further as the one who gets the best results and the most market value for your home is none other than Super Dad himself, Brooke Billings.
Call Brooke. Great guy.
Call Brooke. Servicing his hometown, Manhattan Beach, and more for years.
He's the best.
By the way, man. Brooke was great volleyball.
Oh, he was. He told us. He told us he was. So you're verifying.
Dude, Brooke was. Yeah. Still is.
Oh yeah.
He's very humble though. Actually.
By the way, wife, great volleyball player.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. Height is in their
genes. Buddy.
Yeah.
Such a star. Yeah. One of the great 6-man players of all time, by the way, at the Peach Manhattan 6-man. Hope you guys talked about that. Next time.
He sprinkled some little things in there.
Yeah.
He threw it in there.
Tommy, who do you got this week?
Well, got to go right to 4th Street, old school, Jerry and Trey Comstock, Friends of the Pod. They're going to be so excited to listen to this episode today.
Well, some of my favorite people, you know, Tommy, honestly.
Absolutely. And I'm going to go all the way back to Texas, and I'm going to go Kevin Chips, who's a big FOP, a Buckeye, and listens to the pod. Told me the other day, I'm an FOP. I said, that's great.
That's awesome.
So
Can I be an FOP in the future?
Of course.
Because I think you guys do such an amazing job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Because, you know, once Nikki, I'd heard about it, but then when Nikki brought it up, it was good to, like, check out your pages and all that stuff. And you guys are phenomenal, man.
Thank you.
Like, I want to come back.
Absolutely.
We'll put it under consideration.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sure Khalil and Vaughn and those guys got to come first, but, you know, you can make it happen.
No, after that, you can come back.
Yeah. Leinart, whoever else you got to go get. But, you know.
I got a few. Ryan Khalil, obviously.
Yeah.
We had a great time last night. Big great FOP.
Dude. Great dude. Did he? Who was the kingpin behind that?
That was me. It was my idea. Yeah.
It's Khalil's riding your coattails.
Yeah, I'm gonna let him take the glory.
Yeah.
But
will you ask Khalil if he remembers me? For God's sakes.
I will.
Okay.
I will
ask. And if he says no, I don't care. But it's just, you know.
I'll ask him. Dougie Baird, we're coming to crash your place
there
next
it is,
week,
Dougie.
New York City. Shout out to my son Vetter. He is. We just drafted his team. I'm coaching with FOP Matt Green.
Nice.
Vetter's
Greeny.
Yeah.
Greener.
So we got
another
Bruce.
Legend. This town is filled with.
It is.
Is Greeny like the greatest dude?
He's
the
he was awesome. He showed up a day early. He showed up 24 hours early for the podcast. How excited he was. Yeah.
Did you bring Coors Lights?
He brought a 30-pack of Keystone Lights.
God, better.
Yeah, he's, bottle beer tastes in the can.
By the way, I'll be back. I need to know when the pot is because I feel a little bit.
So Vetter just drafted. He's going to have his first basketball season. He's super excited.
Nice.
Hopefully, I can.
Bruce is a super athlete. Too,
I can emulate.
Do you remember your
season.
Daughter being the most improved player? Do you remember?
I do.
Well,
she started
crazy,
from
right?
a low level, but yeah.
Dude, she got good and was like getting boards, and the next year she was like on another team.
Expert
and really
coaching.
Good.
You awesome. And Brett were expert coaches. Also Matt Smith was there.
We had a great time.
Final FOP shout out, Dave Hillsburg. I love you, man.
Right to the heart on that one. And we all agree. And guys, we just can't thank you guys enough for supporting us and listening to our podcast. Let's get us our social handles. Geeter, where can we find you?
So Instagram is Geeter3, GEETER3. And then the next time I come on, I'll tell you a fun story about how I got that nickname because it dates back to the Lakers, which I didn't know until recently. It was a 30 years of me trying to figure out how I got the nickname. And
you got
we're going to save it.
You okay, found
we'll
the source. I like
save
episode
it.
Episode
I love
two.
It. Part two.
I like this.
At Geeter 3.
We got to label this part one.
Yeah. Twitter I hate. It's at Geeter 3. Instagram I like at Geeter 3. That's the only social
Perfect.
Media
Yeah.
Chris, what are our social handles?
So you can follow us on Instagram at Dad's Night Podcast. Yep. Or you can email us dadsnightpodcast@gmail.com, Tommy.
That's it. All right, everybody. Thanks for taking time to listen to your Dad's Night podcast brought to you by the Believe Network. Please like it and share it with a friend or two that you would think would enjoy this ridiculous banter. Because after all, Dad's Night is where ridiculous
becomes reality. Thank you, everybody. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Thanks.